couldn't ask for a better introduction to Pat Carrigan than Ethel Merman singing Everything's Coming Up Roses. Hello, Ms. Carrigan.
Well, good morning to you. Thanks for letting me jump into Garden Talk this morning. Yeah, the Santa Rosa Police Motorcycle Division just passed by us at 4th and D, just across from the judge's stand. So the parade is underway, Steve, and yes, it is raining. It's not pouring. But it's raining.
So where is your vantage point?
Right at 4th and D, and we're just, as I said, we are at the start of the parade, and you'll see the KSRO tent here. A lot of people, the brave soldiers that they are, have come bearing umbrellas. They're also using those foldable camp chairs, but these, Steve, have actual roofs on them. So there are people out here, of course, not the crowds that we're used to having thanks to the weather, but many, many people and many families are braving it anyway. There will be some dropouts, as you can imagine, mostly with the middle school bands and things like that, but the parade is going.
Well,
our
that's
Grand Marshal Al Magini just passed by, 103 years old. So it's underway, Steve.
And Al Magini sat in with you this week on the morning show, did he not?
Yes, he did. Oh, what a guy. 103 years old, and I wouldn't want to race into the corner because I'd probably end up losing. I'm telling you, this guy is just a miracle. 103 years old, doesn't look a day over 75.
Well, hey, so you know, out there when you're thinking, oh, I don't have the energy to go out to the parade today. It's raining. Think about Al at 103. He's out there.
Yeah.
And get up off the couch.
By the way, he is not in a car. His vehicle does have a roof on it, but he's going through anyway. And by the way, if you want to stream the parade, you can live stream it while you're listening to Garden Talk. And it is at YSN365.com. That's the Youth Sports Network. So YSN365.com. So if you are not going to melt in the rain, which I know most of us aren't, come join us for the 125th annual Luther Burbank Rose Parade in downtown Santa Rosa, and bring a jacket and an umbrella too.
Pat Carrigan, thanks so much for calling in, and enjoy the parade.
You too, babe.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Pat Carrigan live at the 125th annual Santa Rosa Rose Parade right there at the corner of 4th and D. So, hey, I know the weather is not very inviting, but if you have a chance to swing by, walk over, just support all the folks that did show up and put a lot of time and energy into making the parade happen this week.
I'm sure they have photos over the years. Where would we see that, especially in 125 years ago?
That's a great question. I don't know if the Chamber of Commerce office is downtown. I don't know. That's a great question, the history of the Rose Parade.
Just to see what the roads and the buildings look like. And I'm sure everybody was driving down with horse-drawn buggies and carts and wagons and things instead of vehicles.
Well, as far as a 4th Street business I can think of off the top of my head that's been around for forever, Corix on 4th Street. That might be the place where some scrapbooks or memorabilia would find a very wonderful and appropriate home. So, but I don't know, and that might be a good discussion for folks to come up with about where can we archive all the great parades over the past 125 years.
Maybe in the libraries.
Maybe the library has a section for that. Pat Carrigan, thanks for calling in, and keep drive. We'll take our break now, then we'll come back and we'll go to your calls at 636-1350 or Steve at KSRO.com. Live Garden Talk, as always, on this sprinkly Saturday morning.
Petaluma hears FM News Talk KSRO on crystal clear FM at 94.5.
Agricultural community farmers markets bring you fresh produce, meat, and dairy each week, year-round.
In Petaluma, every Tuesday morning, it's the East Side Market at Lucchese Park from 10 to 1:30. The first of the season's strawberries, blueberries, and basil are arriving. Neufeld Farm has early peaches and nectarines. Gourmet Growers in Sebastopol brings their mushrooms. Locally raised beef from Petaluma's Beffa Springs Ranch and Sonoma County Meat Company. Find Briarton's roasted almonds, organic dairy products from Strauss Family Creamery in Marshall, and sweet jewel dates. Visit Rodriguez Farm, Minhee Hill Gardens, Waxing Moon, Rojas Family, and Ortiz Family Farm, just to name a few. Grab prepared food from What a Chicken, Stevens Smoked Salmon, The Green Grocer, Roti Indian Bistro, and Revolution Bread. And as always, live music. The Walnut Park Market is back Saturdays 2 to 5:30, and the Theater District Market opens up Wednesday, June 5th.
For more info, check out communityfarmersmarkets.com.
Experience your next movie at the newly renovated Roxy Stadium 14 in Santa Rosa. Now offering motorized luxury recliners with reserved seating. These plush recliners are the ultimate way to enjoy a new release film. Reserve and purchase your tickets in advance, and rest assured your favorite seat will be waiting for you. While visiting the Roxy, try a selection from our newly expanded food and drink menu. The Hollywood and Wine Bar and Bistro features premium foods, Yanni's gourmet sausages, paninis, quesadillas, and more. Thirsty? Sip on locally sourced wines and craft beers. Want the ultimate cinema experience? Watch a film in our ultimate digital cinema auditorium featuring the incredible Dolby Atmos sound system and largest screen in Sonoma County. Movies are meant to be seen on the big screen. Experience your next film at the newly renovated Roxy 14 in downtown Santa Rosa. View showtimes and reserve your recliner now at SantaRosaCinemas.com.
Do you know why 100 Sonoma homeowners are rebuilding with Stonefield Development? Stonefield began working with fire survivors in 2003 and is credited with creating the national blueprint for fire disaster group rebuilds. They use plans from award-winning architects with highly competitive pricing, or you can build your own custom plan. Spring and summer starts are available to begin your rebuild. Find out how Stonefield can get you back home quickly in a house you'll be proud to show off. Learn more at StonefieldDevelopment.com. You can still find the best deals online at MySonomaDeals.com. Enjoy dining, family fun, health, beauty, and more. New this week, experience the thrill of Scandia Family Fun Center. Blaster boats, spin zone bumper cars, two mini golf courses, 18 batting cages, Lil Indy Raceway, and vertical boom. Right now, you can buy a $50 card for just $25, but only for a limited time. Scandia Family Fun Center. All kinds of fun wrapped into one on MySonomaDeals.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Several listeners calling asking us to repeat the Rosalia information. If you want to do something indoors, after you get a little soaking out of the Rose Parade, head over to Sebastopol for Rosalia. This is a gathering of rose lovers, a discovery about roses, some great speakers, their history, how to grow them, a sale of truly rare roses. It's all happening at Wishman Hall, which is at 465 Morris Street in Sebastopol. That's the first stoplight as you're coming in on Highway 12 heading west. Just take a right and go past the Barlow. It's a corner of the Barlow, Wishman Hall. It's from 11 till 3:30 today. It's free. And this is put on by the Friends of Vintage Roses, which is a nonprofit established to preserve an historic collection of several thousand roses. Actually, as Greg Laurie, if you missed the first part of the show, pointed out, it's the largest collection of historic roses in the United States, right here in Sonoma County. So you'll be supporting some very worthwhile work. Hopefully become a member of the foundation and do what you can. This is all today, and it's all free from 11 till 3:30. Didn't get a lot of publicity, and sorry we were late on getting this information to you. But if you're going to be in the West County area, want to take a nice drive, it is indoors, as I mentioned. This would be a marvelous thing to do today from 11 until 3:30 today. Rosalia, which we learned was a Roman term. We learned a lot from Greg today. So last week we got a phone call down out at a Better Way Produce and Nursery about crab apple tree.
That was from Mary.
From Mary. And she had asked you a question and you were going to follow up on her question.
Mm-hmm. Luckily I did.
Oh, you.
So Mary, if you're listening, you were looking for a dwarf crab apple tree, I guess, to replace one that had died on you, I guess. The only one I could find that I remember from working at Callaway's Nursery was called Sergeant Tina. So I think I said last week something about Sargentina or something. I said something like that. So I looked it up, and it's two words, two names, Sargentina. And that only gets to be about 6 feet high and 6 feet wide. And you can prune it like an apple tree to control any water sprouts that are shooting straight up. And you can control the height and the width. And it's a really pretty tree. Two-tone pink flowers. They start off dark, and then they get lighter. And it's very all the crab apples, I think, are really
pretty. Did you sell
pretty.
That variety at Callaway's?
I'm pretty sure, because I thought that Sargentina name or Sargent or something came into my head last week. But no, I had to look it up, and it's two words, Sargentina.
Okay.
T-I-N-A.
N-A.
Yeah.
So you'd have
very pretty.
And you could order that?
Probably too late now, because a lot of the nurseries get these trees in before they start blooming, so they're there when they do bloom. So check out your favorite nursery and ask them if that's a tree that they could get for you next year. And yeah,
there's your crab apple answer, Mary.
Yeah, good choice.
The Sargentina.
Sargentina.
Tina, T-I-N-A. Yeah. I feel for the local strawberry stands in Kenwood and out there at Waltmaw and Sebastopol and Petaluma. They're not doing much business with strawberries with all this rain and wind. What about your strawberries?
Don't ask. I'm in the same boat they are. They're just rotting away.
Oh, that's a good joke.
Oh, they're rotting away very quickly. So at this point, I'm just going to gather them all up, get the little pruners, cut them all off, throw them to the chickens, and just wait until...
Start again?
No, we'll just wait until more berries pop up.
So you don't think the roots are going to rot?
No. The plants are okay. Yeah. I think all the plants are okay, unless they are sitting in water. Then that's bad. But then you shouldn't have planted them there to begin with. But luckily, my plants are doing okay.
Okay.
It's all the fruits that are just turning... They're getting brown rot, botrytis, which is like a gray mold, and they're just... withering away.
Same thing happening to your blueberries?
Blueberries look good. They're above ground, so they're not sitting on the soil like the strawberries are. No, they're looking really good. They're full of berries. And, you know, I went to the coffee shop the other day, and I got big bags of their coffee grinds. Mm-hmm. And so I sprinkled about a half a cup. They're all in half wine barrels. So I sprinkled a half a cup or a cup of the coffee grinds in there. Not going to do much, but I had the opportunity to throw it.
Is that to make sure that the soil remains more acidified?
Yeah, but I don't think that coffee's going to do much. Hmm. You know, I could put in decomposed pine needles and redwood needles and all that stuff. Yeah, it'll help, you know, add some organic matter and help, you know, loosen up the soil somewhat.
And the final berry, raspberry, how are they going to fare during all this rain and wind?
As long as you have planted everything in good draining soil and they're not standing in water, then your plants will be okay. They'll get through this rain and they'll be fine. But no, the raspberries are doing okay because, again, they're above ground.
Have you been able to plant out your corn? I know you always grow a lot of corn.
Oh, yeah, because I talked about that a while ago. They're all in six packs. No, they're about a foot tall now.
Foot?
Yeah, unfortunately. Oh, yeah, and I'm hoping they stay green until after this rain passes, because then I'll get them in the ground now. You really can't be working in wet soil, because even, you know, if you're walking in your garden and you grow 6 inches because all that soil sticks to the bottom of your shoes, you know, that's an indication that you shouldn't be out there. And it's like I said, it's not good to work with wet soil, because you're only, if it tends to compact during the growing season, you're going to compact it even more by walking on it. And you're ruining the structure of the soil. So stay out until it's workable.
And have you already planted your sunflowers?
No.
When do you get around to doing that? How long do they take to?
It depends on the varieties, but I'm waiting for this rain to stop so then I can get out there, and I'm going to sow specific varieties. And I'm sure after this rain here, all the ones that keep coming up every year are going to start popping up.
Well, you just mentioned all your blueberries are doing well. Kevin has an additional question about blueberries. Oh. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning. I was curious about what variety of blueberry and raspberry do the best around here.
Let's see. I have about five or six different varieties. And
of what, blueberries?
Of blueberries. Mm-hmm. And I know Dang, I'm going to get back to you next week because I'm going to look at the bushes. We had this question last year, too, and I mentioned which ones did better than the others. I know the blue crop, that's a standard commercial one that you know, when you buy blueberries at the store, that's pretty much what that is. That's pretty productive. I like that one. I'm also growing Patriot, Legend, Misty, Early Blue, and some are doing better than others, but can I get back to you next week, and I'm going to look at these plants and tell you which ones are just full and which ones
are... That's your blueberries. What about raspberries? Do you have any faves on your raspberries?
You know, I got my plants from my father-in-law up in Oregon, and they're Amity.
Oh.
And I think that's... And Heritage is another good one, mm-hmm. but I think Amity is a little bit sweeter tasting, so that's a good one to grow.
Okay. Do they produce all season long, the blueberries and the raspberries, or is it all in one shot?
The blueberries slowly produce. They keep going and going, and you're constantly picking until they're all spent. They're all done. So the raspberries, they'll come on pretty much at one time, and then they'll have a little lull. There are some June bearing, and then there's some ever bearings. Or all bearing, and then they'll grow a little bit more, and then they'll produce some more berries later in the fall. So you'll have two crops of raspberries where you'll only have one crop for a long period of time of your blueberries.
Okay, and you talked about coffee grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good for the general planting area also, or is it only for acidic?
No, I don't think it provides much acidity or anything, really, because I use so little. I just happened to be at this coffee shop, and I saw this basket that says grounds for your gardens. So they were like, you know, 10-pound bags of, you know, coffee grounds. So I took all of it, and I was just sprinkling it around on the ground and, you know, out in the soil in my vegetable garden. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to throw a little bit in the containers where the blueberries are, not expecting it to do anything. Because I just put so little in there. But if you did put more in there, I don't think it's not going to change the pH or anything. It's just a little extra organic matter as it breaks down and just adds to the soil. But it's not going to change anything. It's not really going to improve anything because by the time it breaks down into just a small amount that, you know, it's better than nothing. It's better than throwing the coffee grounds in the garbage. You know, so you just throw them out in the garden anywhere. But if you need to keep that soil, the blueberry soil, more on the acidic side, and that's when you would be using like a fir mulch or pine needles and redwood needles. Let's see. Fertilizers I tend to stay away from, but you could get an organic acidic fertilizer and follow the directions and use that. Otherwise, you know, coffee grinds aren't going to do much
for
you.
And Gwen will have her complete list for you next week, okay, Kevin?
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, good talking to him. Did you ever plant Misty? That was always a popular one.
Yeah, I mentioned that
one. And Sharp Blue? Was that one? Did you know Sharp
Blue? Early Blue.
Early Blue. Is that one you...
I have Early Blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there are two plants out there that are just packed full of blueberries, and I can't remember which one it is.
But next week you'll know.
Yeah.
From beautiful Petaluma, California, Doc has a berry question for us. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Good morning, Doc.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
You guys every week.
Thanks.
Thank you.
My blackberries are up against the fence and they're getting beat up by this rain. All the blossoms are being knocked off the flowers.
Don't worry about it. I'm sure they've already been pollinated. The petals are going to fall off. I'm pretty sure you're still going to get some fruit off those blackberries.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah, you know.
They grew like crazy this year, so.
Good. And, you know, this rain just happened, and we've had nice weather for so long. Everybody got pollinated, I believe, as best as they could be. And so now is the time when those flowers are going to start falling off. But, you know, in another week or so, get out there and look, and you'll see that tiny little berry forming.
Okay. Yeah, I'm waiting for my, I'm waiting to plant my melons.
Oh.
Oh, boy. That's going to be a while, isn't it?
Well, no. We have plenty of time. This is only the middle of May. Middle of May, yeah, June,
that guy,
July.
That guy a couple weeks ago, he said, remember he said put him in middle of June or so.
Oh, Joby. Joby was on.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not going to be growing those big 40, 50 pounders like he does. I'm sure you're going to be growing the more, you know, 8 to 12 pounds, which are going to be
mature. I need
yours
in cantaloupes.
Okay.
Cantaloupe.
No watermelons left.
Oh, okay. Cantaloupes. I have my seeds. I haven't put them in the ground either. And they take maybe 90 to 100 days. We have plenty of time. Yeah. We're not going to stress on anything that we didn't get in the ground. And as long as we have some warm, beautiful weather in the summer, we're all going to be good to go. So
I think summer's going to go late with all this weather like it is.
Yeah. No, it's not
going to
be.
We're going to have a late summer.
If we have a late summer, great. More vegetables for us that will just keep on growing. But we're not going to worry about the weather now. We're not late in any way, shape, or form. Even with winter squashes that take some, 120 days with some of them, we're still okay. We're still fine.
Yeah, I've got my zucchini in already, and the plants are about—they're spreading around. I mean, they're starting to get runners on them.
Wow! See, I haven't even put mine in the ground yet, so and I'm not going to worry because the weather's when the soil's warm and you give plants enough sunshine and water, everybody's going to grow and be happy, and we have until like mid-November or so.
Good. So Doc can kick back.
I put a black weed barrier over the top, so the plants have just got their little hole in it, to grow.
Yeah.
So I think that keeps the soil warm all night.
Yep.
And that's why they're doing so well.
Yeah, yeah. You can do that. If you have a small garden and you can do
too,
that,
so.
That's perfect. Yeah. See, I can't do that right because on. My garden is way too big and... it just does what it does, and that's it. So good for you. Very cool. So
yeah, I raised my whole garden up 8 inches of this last year. So it's like a crown. It's like a mound,
Okay.
Well, you're in Petaluma. Do you have gopher problems?
No, we're up on the top of a hill on the west side of Petaluma with the sandy loam, and you can almost turn the soil over with your fingers,
Wow.
Wow, what great friable soil that is. But that makes it easy for gophers to go through also.
Oh, they're in there, but I got gopher wire down.
So. Okay. Smart guy.
I found out the first year.
Yeah. Live and learn.
Hey, thanks for
your call. Eat every melon. They'd empty the melon up from the bottom, and you wouldn't even realize you'd pick it up, it'd be hollow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've seen that a lot with winter squashes, pumpkins and things. Yeah.
Everything.
They look perfectly fine, and you go pick them up, and then they collapse on you because
they stop growing, and all of a sudden you pick them up, and there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of gopher.
Yeah.
It's late, right in your hand,
Dang gopher.
Hey, thanks for your call, Doc.
Happy
Thanks,
gardening.
You guys. I'll be listening to you next week.
All right.
Keep up the good work.
Good hearing from you. So plenty of time to get everything in. And boy, his zucchini's already doing well. He's got runners on it. You haven't gotten yours in yet, though.
No. I'm always late. I always tell everybody what to do, and then I don't get it in the ground.
Do you have netting over your blueberries?
No.
You don't? Well, don't you lose most of them to birds?
No, because my big black dog walks around the garden. He kind of keeps everybody out. Although, the quail don't seem to mind. They're out really early in the morning or later in the evening.
Your dog sleeps in, doesn't he?
No. he doesn't. But, he's with me, and those quail come out at, two times during the day, mm-hmm. and that's when they'll come out and they'll peck at my strawberries or pull the little corn seedlings out of the ground or whatnot. But with a lot of my seeds that I sow, I will put a frost cloth over the top until they get big enough and so the quail can't get them. But they don't go after the blueberries, but other birds, they don't come and get them because my dog's around.
Hey, if you want a word with Gwen, you can go to the top of the class. There's no one on hold at this moment. 636-1350. We'd love to have you join us in the greenhouse this morning. This is the place for 32 years. Garden Talk information live every Saturday morning for all of Northern California and elsewhere around the country, too, where people enjoy the show. And occasionally we get calls from places like South Carolina and Alabama and even New Hampshire a couple times in the years past. You can also shoot us an email if that's your way of communicating, a little easier. steve@ksro.com. We'll take email questions too, just as we do live on air questions. Back after this.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market.
voted Best Farmer's Market. Find a wide selection of garden starts, Savor Farm Fresh eggs, and produce like fresh strawberries, avocados, and asparagus. Enjoy farm-to-table almonds, walnuts, and healthy salad greens. Discover quality beef, pork, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. Multiple food vendors are serving up an excellent breakfast and lunch using farm fresh products. Minhee's Korean Cuisine, The Green Grocer, Mi Fiesta's Fresh Tamales, and a whole lot more. Santa Rosa's original farmer's market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmer's Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Spring fever is upon us. What's up, guys? It's Elena, and with all of this fresh air comes a fresh start to dating in 2019. If you're looking to get more out of your dating app, Match is the app for you. They've been number one in first and second dates, number one in marriages, and over 1 million babies made. Plus, the Match app gives you the chance to carefully review profiles versus just quickly flipping through them. You can now view photos and read more about the people you see. Guys, Match has created millions of love stories, and you could be next. Download the Match app for free today.
Paradise Pet Resorts welcomes your furry family members to go to paradise for the day. Try doggy daycare. It helps your dog socialize, learn dog etiquette, and get exercise. There's all-day supervised pup play, indoor and outdoor yards, and webcams so you can check on them from anywhere. Nobody loves your pets like you do, but nobody cares for your pets like they do at Paradise Pet Resorts.
It's paradise.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Rain for the entire weekend today, possibly over an inch, high 55 across the county. Another quarter of an inch tonight, low 49 inland and on the shores. More showers for tomorrow, about a quarter of an inch, high 57, 55 in Bodega Bay. Monday, though, a few clouds and a break at 62, 57 on the coast. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
I want to salute the bold, the brave, the fearless. I'm referring to those people that are at the Rose Parade this morning. Braving the elements, and good for you for being out there and supporting our Rose Parade. Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher in the KSRO greenhouse this morning. About a quarter to half an inch rain accumulation looks like over the next 24 hours or so. Sunday morning off and on. Monday looks like clearing, then maybe a little bit of rain early next week. And then we should have clear sailing, at least the long-term projection for next weekend. 636-1350 or Steve at KSRO. That's gained you access into the KSRO greenhouse. From Sebastopol, Lucy, good morning. Welcome to the show. What can we do for you this morning?
Good morning. Last October, I went to Harmony Farms and picked two bulbs of garlic. One is the Rojo, and the other is, I can't remember what it was, and in the instruction sheet that comes with the planting of the garlic. Well, behold to me, 6 months later, my garlic is thriving. It's 2 feet tall. The fronds are green and beautiful. And I decided I'd try to pick them before the rains came because they would be dry underneath. But unfortunately, someone watered them, and they were wet. Anyway, I pulled out three from each of the beds. One is, you know, the beds are like 6 feet by 8 inches wide, you know, wooden troughs. So I have them drying on my porch, and I'm trying to follow the instructions on the instruction sheet. You know, just let the dirt dry off of it and see what's, you know, how the bulbs are. Well, I had no garlic to cook with, so I took the smaller one from one of the, you know, the brands and cut it up for a salad, which was wonderful. It was raw and beautiful. And I'm wondering, after the rains, do I wait until the tops dry and get yellow or what?
Yes, you have to wait until all that foliage starts to die back. You can wait for it to die back halfway and then start harvesting if you need that space to grow something else, Or if you're not in any hurry, just slowly cut back on the watering and let the plants completely die back. And then you'll have to use a little hand trowel to dig it out of the garden if your soil is a little bit on the clay kind of side. Because if you go to pull that dead foliage, the foliage is going to come off and the head of garlic is still going to be in the ground.
Yeah, the beds are soft, fluffy soil, but I did use the trough when I pulled the three of each from, you know, the different varieties. So, so I just leave them out there, the ones I have picked already, and let them, you know, let them dry out, and just maybe they'll, you know, of course I could use them for cooking too, right?
Yeah, you could use them at any time now. It's, you know, it's a little past the point where you can call it green garlic, because that's when the garlic heads are still, well, the clove of garlic that you planted is still very young, and it really didn't form a full head of garlic, so they call it green garlic. But you call it green garlic now anyway. I would put it indoors in a dry place with good air circulation, because if you leave it outside with this dampness, you take a chance on the outside part of it getting moldy.
Oh, good idea. What about sun, if the sun comes out next week?
You don't want it sitting in sun all day long, because it could get too hot, and then the tops, whatever's facing the sun for too long, can start getting too hot, not really cooking, but then it could start getting mushy. So
okay, I'll get some newspaper and lay them on the kitchen table and let them dry out there probably.
Yeah, someplace where it's nice and dry and cool, and then you can turn them over every once in a while, and eventually... Yeah. You know, you'll start peeling off the outer shells so you have a nice-looking, clean skins, and you can cut off the roots, cut off all those scraggly little roots so you have a nice little thing of garlic. Or leave the tops on and you can braid them and, you know, make a decoration out of it, a wall hanging or something.
I didn't realize it took so long, 6 months.
I usually get mine in the ground in October, November, December, January, February, March. Yeah, you're right. Mine are still in the ground, and they're not showing any signs of dying down. But I usually harvest mine in June.
Really? So I have time.
Yeah, but with this weather, things seem to be a little behind schedule. So
I hope they don't rot.
No, they won't rot. They'll be fine.
Oh, good, good, good.
You have good draining soil. They'll be fine.
Yeah, I do.
No worries.
All right, well, thank you so much. And I'm going to maybe open one up and put it into my cabbage soup later on today.
There you go.
Sounds
Lucy.
Great.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you for the info. Uh-huh. Okay.
Our pleasure. Good talking with you, Lucy from Sebastopol. Let's head over to Rohnert Park and have a word with Rhonda. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Stephen Gwen. Hey, I have a question on growing red onions. I planted red onions in a raised box January 4th. And the tops are looking great. They've even started flowering, but there's no bulbs. What causes no bulbs?
What variety is this?
It's a red. I think the name is Carmen.
Carmen? I don't know Carmen. There are different types of onions that grow better in certain areas of the United States. They're called like short day, intermediate, and long day. So if you got the wrong one, say you got the long day, which, now I get confused, is the short day is for, well, we do really well with the intermediate types because of our weather, with the heat and the cold and all that. I think the short day are better for the northern half of the United States and long days are better for the southern part. Well, I could be wrong. It could be opposite. But nonetheless, if you got the wrong variety to grow in our area, it's not going to do its best. If you did get the right variety, because I'm not familiar with this Carmen variety, it could be because of our crazy weather. It got, you know, you planted it when?
January 4th.
When was that?
January 4th.
Oh, January, okay. So you had some cool weather, but then, and the onions were growing, and then we got that unusually hot weather in February, then it dropped down again, and then when did we have that record-breaking 90-something degrees? It was that early April or so, or the end of March. It was some day that we had that record-breaking temperature. So then the onions, they don't know what to do. It's too hot, it's too cold, and they like a consistently cool temperature to be growing in order to get that head to the bulb to produce. So once they get too hot for too long or they get all screwed up, they start sending up that flower stalk. And they say, forget it. I can't live like this. I'm just done. I'm going to produce flowers. And I don't produce a bulb of the onion bulb.
And it's the Red Carmen, K-A-R-M-E-N, is the variety that you have.
And is it a long day or short day? Or what did you find
out? Plant them in spring, and you harvest them in August, September.
That's all they say?
Yeah.
Okay. That was useless. Sorry.
So now that they've flowered, should I just go ahead and pull them all out?
No, you know what I would do? I would just cut those little flowers off. Or you know what? Because of our rain, bend them over. Just bend the top over, okay, where that little flower is coming. Because what's going to happen is if you cut it, okay, and you look, that flower stalk that it's growing on is hollow. So then you're going to have all that rain coming, and it's going to go down into that hollow stem and all the way into your bulb, which maybe you'll have somewhat of a half bulb onion bulb, okay? But now it's all rotten because it has all that water in it. To prevent the water from getting down into the onion bulb, just bend that stalk over so you kind of crush it a bit and... You will have to start harvesting sooner than later, and you might get some bulbs that are halfway decent, but if it's the right variety that you planted for here, I blame it on the weather. I have 5 different varieties that are growing, and there's one variety that's doing the same thing. It just started to bolt, and it's one of the bigger onions, and it just, I think it's candy, or maybe it's red candy. One of those nice big softball-sized onions that I used to be very successful with. But this year, they all started to do the flower stalk and the bolting and all that. So I blame the weather.
So, okay, perfect. Thank you for the info.
Okay, and if you need onions now, just go out and pull the ones that have the biggest flower stalks on them. Just pull those first and use whatever you have. You can even use the green onion part and... you'll get something better than nothing.
No?
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, and next time, look up that onion and go with the intermediate varieties that do well in this area.
Okay, perfect.
Okay?
Thanks so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Good talking with you. We'll take a break. We could take more calls at 636-1350. We're going to grab a email question that just came in to us. Live Garden Talk, as always, every Saturday morning on News Talk KSRO, live and direct from Santa Rosa, California.
Loose ball to Thompson. Throw ahead, KD.
I have nothing to do with the Knicks.
One step and a right hand dunk for Durant and a timeout.
KSRO.
DJ Sash and Glass is a full-service windows and glass family business that has served Sonoma County since 1960. DJ's makes it easy to replace your old, drafty, hard-to-open windows. Improve the look and value of your home with reliable, energy-efficient Milgard replacement windows. You don't have to worry about disposing of your old windows. DJ Sash and Glass makes it easy to get your home improvement project done. And shower doors and enclosures are just a phone call away at DJ's Sash and Glass. DJ specializes in custom shower doors and custom mirrors for your new or replacement bathroom project. Call DJ's Sash and Glass today for windows and your shower door replacement. Add a touch of class to your glass with DJ's Sash and Glass. 2985 Wilgen Court. Call 546-7344 and online at djsglass.com.
Hi, it's Jeff Davis for Park Place Hearing Center with Jocelyn, who has suffered with hearing loss since she was a child.
So I grew up wearing hearing aids as a kid, but unfortunately I did get bullied. So there was a time where I did not wear my hearing aids. When it came to school, I did struggle a little bit.
But then her parents brought her to Dennis Tobin at Park Place Hearing Center.
He ordered me some custom Starkey IICs, which stands for Invisible in the Canal. I'm very thankful that Dennis has been able to help me out throughout these years.
Jocelyn was so thrilled with the results, she now works at Park Place Hearing Center.
This is Dennis Tobin. If you or a loved one suspect that you have trouble hearing, visit us at Park Place Hearing Center for a free hearing check and demonstration of the latest products.
And believe me, it will be a life-changing experience.
Park Place Hearing Center in Petaluma and San Rafael and parkplacehearing.com.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted Best Farmers Market. Find a wide selection of garden starts, Savor Farm fresh eggs and produce like fresh strawberries, avocados, and asparagus. Enjoy farm-to-table almonds, walnuts, and healthy salad greens. Discover quality beef, pork, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. Multiple food vendors are serving up an excellent breakfast and lunch using farm-fresh products. Minhee's Korean Cuisine, The Green Grocer, Mi Fiesta's Fresh Tamales, and a whole lot more. Santa Rosa's original farmers market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
We were talking about onions. I hope you'll excuse my temporary lapse of concentration because we were talking about short day onions and long day onions and intermediate day onions. The big world of onions out there.
Yeah, but you know, I used to have some shortcuts so I can remember which is which, like long day or short day for the South, you know, S and S, but I don't think so.
we'll sort it all out. Joanne from out in Sebastopol, California. Welcome to Garden Talk this morning. Hi.
Hi, thank you.
Sure.
Hi.
My question today is, with this rain and weather that we're having, when is a good time to plant vegetable starts into the vegetable beds garden?
Oh, if you have raised beds and containers and all that, you can plant at any time. If you don't mind getting wet, you know, you just get your raincoat on and get out there and plant. This is fine. But if you're planting in the garden, you know, you have garden soil, which maybe is a little on the clay side, then you'll probably have to wait until the, you know, weather warms up a bit and it stops raining and the soil's workable. So,
okay.
Like me, I have to wait, but yeah, you're good to go. Get everything in the ground. It'll enjoy the rain. And that's it.
Nothing's going to rot.
Okay. And I have one other question. Is it good to companion plant in raised beds?
There's just a lot of talk about that. Who was that? We had Robert Couric on, mm-hmm. who was talking about whether companion planting mm-hmm. really works or not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wouldn't plant my garden around that. I would just plant where the appropriate places are for whatever vegetables you want to grow. So you want to make sure if you're going to plant tomatoes that you're not going to plant something next to it that's shorter where the tomatoes are going to block the sun and then and those plants are compromised. So, look at the direction of the sun and where your planting beds are, your containers. Excuse me. And you'll have rows, you know, growing, going north and south, okay? You really don't want to have them going east and west because if you plant something tall in the front, then those plants, like I said, in the back won't get enough sun. So plant, in your raised beds, you'll have, like I said, with the direction, you know, north and south rows, have the tall plants in the back and the shorter ones in the front or this and that, and then you'll be okay. If you think of any companion plants that you want to plant, then, you know, go ahead and add them to your garden. Little, you know, edible flowers would be nice to have, or some herbs in the corners of the raised beds if they're, you know, squares or rectangles or whatnot. So you can be creative with your planting. So does that help you?
Thank you.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
Okay. And, you know, I also remember people talking about not planting two different types of vegetables next to each other. I change my garden all the time. I don't know of anybody that does the companion planting and don't plant this next to that and this and that. And everybody's been fine. So,
okay. Thanks. You know? Thanks for your advice.
Okay.
Good.
You're welcome, Joanne.
Good talking with you, Joanne from San Sebastopol. Let's move back to Santa Rosa, California. Deanna, welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Good morning.
Thank you. It's Dina, and I'm wondering if you can hear me okay.
We can hear you perfectly. Yes, we can, Dina.
Excellent. Every Saturday, I look forward to getting in my old truck and turning on Garden Talk as I go get mulch or plants or whatever. And so I don't have Bluetooth. I'm using a head earbuds.
Well, thank you.
I'm driving out to Santa Rosa, the city of Santa Rosa is putting on an event today called Smart Compost, and I didn't know if you guys had heard about it, but it's free compost this morning until noon, so it's only for another couple of hours. It's out on Lana Road where the waste treatment plant is.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't hear of this.
It was something that I volunteered to help out at Earth Day a couple of weeks ago, and there were flyers and compost being handed out, little lunch bag size compost, and it's just beautiful and dark and rich and smells good, and they sell it out there all the time. I don't remember how much per yard, inexpensive, but it's, you know, truly cradle to grave, right, all the way through the recycle system, through us and through the plants, and then out into the compost and back to the plants and back to us.
Well, how much are you allowed to take today for free?
5 cubic yards.
Wow.
That's a lot of mulch.
Yeah.
I have a half-ton pickup truck, and when I get a lot of compost, when I get mulch, I can only barely hold in my half-ton pickup 2 cubic yards.
Wow.
So I'll get a truckload, and we'll download it at my house, and I'll share it with my neighbors and anybody else that wants some. We've already planted our garden boxes, but we can always use some more. It's just cover it up, right?
Wow.
That was my question to you. I don't want it to go bad or mold or anything. Can I just put it out in a safe place in my yard on a tarp or a plywood or something, and should I cover it or should I just leave it exposed?
I would cover it during the rain because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the nutrients could get washed out and then they just, you know, wash away. So just throw throw a tarp over it during the rainy time, and then when it stops raining, take it off and it'll be fine.
Okay.
Sitting there for as long
Okay, thank you. I've also got four groves of redwood trees over in what I call my back 40, which is where I'd be putting this. So I get a lot of redwood, the droppings from the trees,
mm-hmm.
and I think I should protect it from that. They're very acidic, right?
No, I wouldn't worry about that. But the amount of needles that are going to fall on that pile of compost are going to be insignificant in changing the pH or adding anything.
Oh, okay.
Nothing. So no, don't even concern yourself about that.
Deanna, we've got to take a break almost right now, but we want to remind folks of what you just told us, and that is up to 5 yards of free compost being given out today. The city of Santa Rosa, the Smart Compost Program, and this is on Lano Road in Sebastopol. Is that correct?
Correct. 4301 Lano Road.
And it's till noon today?
Yes, I believe it was 8 to 12.
All right. Thanks so much. We didn't know about it. Thanks for telling us.
You're welcome. Love your program.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care. Wow, that's a great way to end the show, isn't it? Free compost, because that's running to a lot of money. And it's well-vetted, well-done program. What do you have to lose? My gosh.
Did she say the name of the place was Smart Compost?
It's a Smart Compost Program sponsored by the city of Santa Rosa out at 4301 Lano Road until noon today, up to 5 yards, which is more than most pickup truck beds can hold. So pretty cool. We'll be back after this.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Hello, Stan Klaus of Crandall Roofing here with great news for Sonoma County.
No doubt many of you have heard that construction is booming in our area, and as a result, wait times for reputable contractors have grown to months or even years. Well, I'm happy to report that Crandall Roofing has been able to add to and restructure our personnel to reduce our wait times for residential re-roofs to weeks, not months. That's right, wait times at Crandall Roofing have been reduced to weeks, not months. So even though construction is backed up in Sonoma County, you can still have a factory-trained, Diamond-certified company with thousands of satisfied customers install your roof. To get the process started, just give Crandall Roofing a call at 586-2500. That's 586-2500, or find us on the web at crandallroofing.com.
Over 5,500 people in the greater Bay Area have trusted the re-roofing of their home to Crandall Roofing. Shouldn't you? Call 586-2500.
You know him from 60 Minutes. Come meet Scott Pelley, one of the most experienced and awarded correspondents in broadcast journalism, who will be in conversation with KSRO host Pat Kerrigan on Wednesday, June 5th at the Flamingo Resort in Santa Rosa. Pelley served as the CBS News Chief White House Correspondent, anchor of the CBS Evening News for 6 years, and has been reporting stories for 60 Minutes since 2004. His stories have accounted for half of all the major awards won by that broadcast show since he joined it. Now he's on tour with his new book, The Truth Worth Telling, A Reporter's Search for Meaning in the Stories of Our Times. If you're trying to make meaning from the news, join us for a veteran correspondent's take on that and hear his defense of free speech and free press. Pelley will be in conversation with the winner of the National Association of Broadcasters' highest honor, the Marconi Award, Pat Kerrigan. Tickets include the book and are available at SonomaCountySpeakerSeries.com or on Eventbrite under Scott Pelley.
This is Michael O'Shea, president of Amaturo Sonoma Media Group, asking for your support for our friends, neighbors, and loved ones recovering from the recent devastating and historic flood. Please make a gift to United Way of the Wine Country's Sonoma County Flood Recovery and Wellness Fund by texting Sonoma Flood to 85511. You can also visit UnitedWayWineCountry.org or call 707-528-4485 for more information. By living united, we can help our community recover.
Professional painters used to spend more time sanding some walls than painting them. But that was before Pro PPG Ultra Hide paint at the Home Depot. Ultra Hide covers existing wall imperfections fast for smooth finishes and easier touch-ups now in a lot less time. So even if your walls aren't perfect, at least your paint job can be. Pro PPG Ultra Hide paint. 5 gallon buckets starting at only $70.98, exclusively at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, see store for details.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Gwen, I only have enough time to say thanks for coming in today to the greenhouse.
Well, thanks for coming in also, Steve.
We'll see you next Saturday.
You've been a big help.
Thanks, you. Stick around. From the greenhouse, we head over to the KSRO kitchen, where we will reconnoiter with Chef John Ash, and we'll have some terrific guests for you on the Good Food Hour. Don't go away.
News, traffic, weather, talk. Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO Santa Rosa.